This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. Things did not go as planned for a robbery crew who tried to hit up a smoke shop in Norwalk. And Kamala Harris's running mate makes his campaign debut. But first, tonight, the Rancho Palos Verdes City Council will ask again for federal help to help residents worried they're going to lose their homes because of land movement. Officials have also set up an information center for those people. Natalie Tavidian reports.
I'm at Ladera Linda Community Center. About 400 homes are impacted by this land movement. The land is moving about 12 inches a week. Rancho Palos Verdes Mayor John Cruikshank talked to me about tagging homes last week. City leaders did what's called windshield inspections. They drove around looking at homes' exteriors. They're going to send letters to people letting them know if their homes need more of an inspection.
And that information is being compiled and analyzed by our building officials. The building officials then are going to determine which homes they should send out notifications to ask for voluntary inspections. We do want to look in their homes to make sure that they're safe, and the goal is to not red tag homes. Those letters should be going out either next week or the following week, and then our residents that get those letters will have 10 days to respond. If they don't respond and don't allow us to come and do those inspections, I probably shouldn't use the word voluntary, because honestly, if they get those letters and they say that you can't come in, we're going to probably have to ask to get some type of a court allowance to come in and talk to them and look in their homes, because it does look like they have a potential safety issue.
Where do they go from there?
Our goal would be once they invite them in their homes, that if a portion of the home maybe is unsafe but another isn't, maybe they move the family to stay in that safe portion of their house while they find ways in which to solve this. If it's a structural issue or if it's an access issue, whatever the issue may be, we want to help them find solutions.
At least 8 pets have been killed in the brush fire in San Bernardino. One woman lost 3 dogs in the Edge Hill fire. Erica Hernandez says she is heartbroken because they were like family members. She says when the fire got close, she wasn't allowed to go back and get the dogs, had to watch as flames and smoke destroyed their home. Riverside County Fire still working on a final number of how many pets have been lost. The fire now 100% contained. All road closures and restrictions have been lifted. An LAPD burglary detective says they're getting swamped with cases right now, especially in Encino. John Barrett has more.
Detective Armando Menares points out that what they have found is that many of the burglary suspects aren't even from Los Angeles, but they're here hitting the affluent areas where people have nice stuff, whether somebody is home or not.
With some of these cases, there are very little consequence. They are not afraid of getting into a confrontation.
Yes, he believes there is a little bit of the revolving door thing going on.
There's not a lot of accountability for these crimes. So they're committing multiple crimes, but they're, sometimes taking deals where they really don't do a lot of time in jail.
The detective says the burglars have really ramped things up to a point he's never seen before.
It's something that, I personally haven't witnessed in many, many years. So that just tells me that, again, there's no accountability. There's no penalty for what they do.
Still, just one arrest in one case here in L.A. can help crack other cases, even in other cities. I'm John Baird, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
An attempted robbery of a smoke shop in Norwalk ends with the store owner killing one of the would-be robbers. Pete DeVetrio reports.
Sheriff's Homicide Lieutenant Daniel Viscara said the owner told them after the incident, 4 men came in, one pointed a gun and demanded money. He drew a pistol of his own and opened fire. As for how the gunfight evolved, that's still being looked into.
I know there's broken glass and everything, but we're still working through all those details.
The suspect shot down in the back alley, though. He had left the scene. He had left this scene, correct?
He was found directly in the shopping center, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Any idea how many shots Lieutenant fired?
Sir, maybe 1 to 3. Unknown at this time. We haven't reached that point yet.
The 3 suspects all ran away from the area. 2 men were detained about a mile away. If video or other evidence shows they were involved, at a minimum, they'll face armed robbery charges.
That suspect has not been identified yet. The shop owner has been questioned by detectives. No indication this time that he's going to face any criminal charges. A couple of months ago, L.A. launched a heavy metal task force focused on thieves who were stealing copper wires from utility companies. Today, the program was given more funding. Craig Figner reports from the KNX News City Hall Bureau.
It's widely viewed as a success, the heavy metal task force. More than 80 arrests since it launched. Arrests of people suspected of stealing, mostly copper wire, LADWP infrastructure. The L.A. City Council voted to fund the program with an additional $200,000. Metal thieves have been targeting downtown Los Angeles, Councilmember Kevin DeLeon's district.
82 arrests, 60 of them qualify for felonies. We'll see how the district attorney charges these individuals.
Do you have concerns that the DA won't charge certain cases that police believe are felonies?
Well, it's my hope that officials in the district attorney's office understand the crisis that is happening. This is not a progressive issue. It's not a conservative issue. It's just a very basic Angelino issue.
The vote to continue funding the heavy metal task force was not unanimous. Council members Hugo Soto Martinez and Eunices Hernandez voted against it. At L.A. City Hall, I'm Craig Figner, KNX News 97.1 FM.
A new threat for California's Chinook salmon and a big day for Team USA in Paris. That's all coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Back now to Tim Walz, introduced today as the running mate for Kamala Harris. The Minnesota governor attacked his election rivals Donald Trump and J.D. Vance during a rally in Philadelphia.
You know it. You feel it. These guys are creepy and, yes, just weird as hell. That's what you see. That's what you see.
And joining us now for more on the Walz Pick and the impact on the race for the White House is Barbara Perry, professor in presidential studies and University of Virginia. Thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be with you, Rob.
So we now know a bit more about Tim Walz after his introduction by Harris, the speech in Pennsylvania. Politics watchers knew a little bit more about him, but I think for most of Americans, they got an introduction to him for the first time. How strong of a candidate did he come off as?
Oh, I think he came across very well. And I have to say, I didn't know him until 2 weeks ago. And I know over 70% of Americans are saying they don't have an opinion of him, mostly because they don't know him. But the first time he showed up on my radar, it was said that he might be selected to be the vice presidential nominee. So I thought, well, I better pay attention. And I was really impressed then, and I was today, with his genuineness and authenticity and his wide range of experience behind him. But he just had the way I'm describing him is sort of a combination of Harry Truman and Dwight Eisenhower, to be bipartisan about it, to sort of give him hell, Harry. But also the Midwestern dad-like figure that he portrays as Eisenhower did.
You know, he came up with the, I guess, one of the biggest messaging wins that Democrats have had in many, many, many years when he came up with the one word weird thing. And that caught on. Does that illustrate that maybe Tim Walz might be a lot smarter than he plays himself to be?
Well, that and mind your own damn business, again, kind of a Harry Truman-esque statement to make, but that he has this view that I think the campaign is going for, maybe even more so than let's save democracy, but let's save freedom. And one element of freedom that he says comes from his small town upbringing is mind your own damn business. And that applies to, in his case, the personal story of IVF. It could apply to abortion rights. It could apply to what your children can read or not read. So I think he is he's on the right track. And I also think he portrays a really good balance with the head of the ticket, Kamala Harris, both in terms of gender and race, but geography as well.
The Trump campaign painting him as a far left radical, saying he's just way too progressive. Is that going to resonate?
It might, and those who are locked into the Trump-Vance ticket will not be swayed. But for that slice of people across the spectrum who are in these battleground states, I think it might be the perfect balance. But, of course, that is the role of the opposition to complain about the extreme ideology of the other side. And in this case, it's going to be the Republicans saying way too progressive and way too liberal and should not be voted for.
All right. Barbara Perry, thanks so much for joining us today.
Happy to be with you.
a professor in presidential studies at the University of Virginia. Jury selection today in the federal embezzlement case against a former high-profile L.A. attorney. Emily Valdez reports.
Tom Girardi, now 85 years old, is accused of embezzling $15 million in settlement money from clients. Girardi, also the estranged husband of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Erica Jane. He was featured on the show. Jurors being asked the typical questions, but also if they're fans of the reality show. Jane has since filed for divorce. After Girardi was disbarred in 2022, the State Bar of California reported it had received 205 complaints against him. His former bookkeeper also facing similar charges.
Dams and drought have been threatening California's Chinook salmon for years. Now the Park Fire is a new threat. Karen Adams has more.
The fire is beginning to burn through the Upper Mill and Deer Creek watershed, some of the last spawning habitats for the spring run salmon. I spoke with Fish and Wildlife's Matt Johnson about how the fire threatens the fish.
The potential is high for severe fire, which will destabilize soils. We could have increased erosion into the watersheds, which affects water quality and spawning habitat through sedimentation. We also have a lot of fire retardant going out on the landscape in the watersheds. It's a consequence of battling severe wildfire, and that can have impacts to fish down the road.
He says they'll see any potential harm to the Chinook salmon when it rains.